thank you that you cause everything to work together for our good. We thank you that you're always there. We thank you that you know what we need before we even ask. And we thank you, Lord, that you are going to complete the work that you started in each and every one of us, Father. And God, there may not be many here tonight, Lord, but we know where two or more are gathered together. You're right there with us, and we thank you for being here with us, Father. Lord, I just pray that as Kristen brings the word, that you would just anoint her and you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And that we would walk out of here knowing you better than we knew when we came in. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
New Year's resolutions. Tend to have a love-hate relationship with them. I won't ask how many of you have made them or how many of you have not fulfilled them, because I would have to raise my hand a lot. So we won't go there. But did you know that New Year's resolutions are not a modern-day thing? You know, they've been able to trace them back over 4,000 years, where early Babylonians were actually making New Year's resolutions. Wow. About 40% of Americans actually make New Year's resolutions. So it's just a tradition at this point for us to continue to do that. In fact, in January every year, there's a rise in gym memberships, there's a rise in Weight Watchers subscriptions, and there's actually a decrease in alcohol sales in January as well. But by the end of the year, everything just kind of levels right back out again. But most of our resolutions tend to fall into three categories. Maybe ones where we say we're going to look better and live longer. Something like, I'm going to change my diet and I'm going to eat better. I'm going to lose weight. This year, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to drink less alcohol. And I'm going to just improve well-being. The second category is one that helps us to have more. We're going to spend less money. We're going to save more. We're going to get out of debt. We're going to get a better job. We're going to go back to school. We're going to learn something new. The third category is things to help us get along with more people. Laugh more. Enjoy life. Think more positively. Not be so negative. Maybe make new friends. Maybe be more social. Spend more time with family. Be less angry. Volunteer more. Pray more. We can keep going. But we can actually sum up these three categories into three words. Longevity, prosperity, and peace. Isn't that what we all want? I think so. And so that's why we always have this struggle with New Year's resolutions, because we know what we want, but we don't really, do we really want it? Because do we really want to work hard to get there? Well, let's take a look at what Scripture says. Let's turn to Lamentations 3, verse 40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us examine our ways and test them. Sounds a little bit like what we do as January 1 approaches. Kind of re-examine where we came from and look ahead. Hey, where do I want to go? Let's take a look at 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 7. But have nothing to do with irreverent folklore and silly myths. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. This is a faithful and trustworthy saying, worthy of full acceptance and approval. It is for this that we labor and strive, often called to account, because we have fixed our confident hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe in him, recognize him as the Son of God, and accept him as Savior and Lord. What this verse is saying right here is, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be checking your past, see where you've come, and making resolutions to move forward. So why are resolutions so important? Why do they matter to us? We know what we're supposed to do. There are a couple of things that resolutions do for us. Resolutions remind us that spiritual growth isn't just going to happen. It's not simply enough to say, here I am, Lord, I've accepted you as Lord of my life, Savior, here I am, get baptized, okay, yeah, I'm good. That's great, that's the first step, but that's not the end. That's just the beginning. And so resolutions will help us take stock of what it means to be a disciple. Being a disciple, it means you have to plan and you have to be intentional. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Seek him. That's a constant seek him. Not a, oh, you found him. Good for you. No, constantly seeking him. Sometimes we get into this mode of, oh, I'm a believer. Yes, I go to church every weekend. And we take it a little too lightly. We take it a little too casually, because having a relationship with God doesn't happen just by coming to church. It doesn't happen just by reading a devotional once a week. See, we recognize other areas in our lives where we have to work hard, where things that are important, things of value, we have to sacrifice for, we have to strive for those things. But then when it comes to God, we kind of back up and say, oh, but God's supposed to do the work, not me. That's not the case. We have to be intentional with our relationship, and resolutions can help us do that. The second thing that resolutions can do is affirm the truth that God wants us to grow, that he wants us to change, that he wants us to mature. When we make resolutions, we're declaring our hope and our faith in God's promises to transform us. We're saying, we know that we are your masterpiece and you're going to work in me to make those changes. Resolutions help to keep us focused. Because over time, we're supposed to be able to look back and say, wow, I'm more joyful today than I was 2 years ago. I'm more patient, I'm more loving with people than I was 3 months ago. Our faith, our love for God should be so overwhelming in us that it just bubbles over, that we just can't contain it anymore. The things that we desire, the things that we value, should line up with God's values, not what the world tells us we should value. And we should come into the world saying, I want to serve, not that the world should serve us. And these are all things that we should be able to look back and say, wow, look what God has done in me. Look how I've changed. Now what can God do with me? I'm going to resolve to move forward with God. That's why this is so important. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And all of us have had the veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. As followers of Christ, we're always supposed to be learning. We're always supposed to be growing. We're always supposed to be changing. That's why resolutions are important for us. Now, we know that they're going to be important for us, but why can't we keep them? 8% of people that make resolutions, 8%, actually keep them by the end of the year. 8%. So why do we struggle so much? just read about why they're so important, that God should be our focus, but why can't we keep them? Well, because self-improvement, really, in and of itself, has no value for God. He isn't impressed with our good deeds. Isaiah 64:6 says, "We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags." So if we're looking to improve ourselves for the sake of ourselves, we're not going to be able to do it. Because we're focusing here and not there. See, our desire to improve ourselves can actually become an idol. And it can hinder our spiritual growth rather than draw us closer to Him. Focus on self-will. I can do this. I can do this. We focus on our self-reliance and self-sufficiency. This is what I'm going to do. Let's say you resolve to quit smoking or read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to learn a new Bible verse every week. You pursue it, and you actually succeed at it. What's your attitude going to be? Look what I did. Look what I did. I quit smoking. Is that awesome? Yeah, that's awesome. But look at this Bible verse sheet. I learned every one of these. I memorized every one of them. Yeah, that's not going to bring you closer to God. That's going to push you further away because you're all puffed up. Prideful. Look what I did. Look what I did. The solution to really successful change in our resolutions is keeping them God-focused. It's all in our motivation. We need to have a purpose of honoring and glorifying God. We need to come to Him with our resolutions with a spirit of humility and faith. We need to come to these resolutions and pursue them with an attitude of dependence on Him. Because when self-improvement is our goal, we're starting from a place of self-centeredness. But when we resolve to change and we're honoring Him, and that's our only goal, all the difference. Knowing God and honoring God is the whole purpose of why every one of us is here. It's the point of our lives. It's why we were made. You were made to glorify Him. We fail to keep our resolutions. It's because we're trying to do it on our own instead of seeking His help. When we're spiritually and morally weak, we're never going to be the people that God wants us to be unless we turn to Him and see that He's what we need. The psalmist writes this, Psalm 121, verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Sometimes we forget that. Do it. I can do it, Lord. Philippians 4:13, Paul tells us this, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And Jesus says this in John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Back to our filthy rags. Keep it on ourselves. But when we focus on Him, we do all things. See, if God is the center of your New Year's resolutions, it has chance for success. But if your resolution is not honoring God, and it's not in agreement with His will for your life, then you're doomed to failure. Because when we make God-centered resolutions, what we're really doing is embracing this transformation of being more like Christ. That's why resolutions are important. as we're saying, God, I trust you. God, I love you. I want to honor you. We're saying that we trust God's purpose for our life. We're trusting that it's his power that's working in us. The biggest difference between our resolutions and the world's resolutions, because we're trusting in him to transform us. We're trusting in his love for us, what John said in his prayer a short time ago, Philippians 1:6, God who started a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ coming. We're fulfilling that promise when we say, God, here I am. All right, so now we've got all this about resolutions. We know they're good. We know that we need to be God-centered in our resolutions. So what kind of resolutions do we make? Let's go to Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible. Let's see what he has to say about it. Let's go to Proverbs 3, starting in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's go back to those first two verses. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Sounds like longevity, prosperity, and peace. Remarkable. He knew way back then what our New Year's resolutions were going to be today. What a prophet. It's all wrapped up right there for us. So what should our resolution be? Our resolution should be to give up control of our lives to him. See, we don't talk much about the lordship of Christ because, honestly, we like to have control ourselves. Let's use this illustration. Let's say you've accepted Jesus as Lord, Savior of your life, and you're just about to get baptized, you're just about to go into the water, but you realize that your wallet was in your back pocket. So you reach out, you hold it up, and just as the pastor puts you down to baptize you, your hand's up above the water with your wallet. This really isn't about the wallet not getting wet. The question is, what are you holding above the water so you're not giving it back to God? What are you holding on to and keeping control for yourself and not giving it to the Lord? That's the question we all need to be asking. Lord, what am I holding back from you? Lord, what piece of my life do you want that I'm not giving you? We need to remember that Jesus is either Lord of all things, or he's Lord of nothing. You can't have him just be Lord of a few things. He needs it all. He's either the center of your world, or you are. You can't have it both ways. The second verse there, the second paragraph, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, in all your ways, submit to him. You know what the Hebrew word for all is? You know what it means? All. All things, whole, everything. That's just it. It's just all. There's no wiggle room. All things. I hope you got the blank page, little half page, when you came in tonight. If you didn't get one, just raise your hand. I'll have one of the ushers come over and hand it to you. The point of this page is more just symbolism. The blank paper, it's about signing all of your life over to Jesus, saying, Lord, you have a blank page. This is my story. You write it. You fill in the details. Because I want you to be Lord of my life. That is my resolution, is to make you Lord of all of my life. Because I want you to be the center. I want to become more like Christ. And I can't do it if I'm in control. I can only do it when you're in control. Philippians 4:8 says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Church, let's resolve together to give lordship of every aspect of our lives over to Jesus Christ. Together, let's look back and see that we've become more joyful, more patient, and more loving. Let's work together so our faith becomes stronger, that our love for God and our love for one another grows and overflows in us, that the things we value match what God values and not what the world's telling us that we should value. May we strive together to live more and more for serving others rather than being served. May we together strive towards holiness in ways that our words, our hearts, just every attitude within our soul becomes more and more like Christ. And then we will be closer to Him every day with the help of His Spirit. We'll be able to pursue godliness, faith, love. Church, let your New Year's resolution be just signing over your life to Him, just lordship over to Him. And then who knows what He'll do with us? Who knows what He'll do? Father, I thank you for our time. I thank you for your message. I thank you for your words. Just give us the courage to be bold, Father. Give us the courage to hand our lives over to you. Help us to see your work in us. Sometimes, Father, I think we are our own worst enemy. We are our own worst critic. But help us to see you at work in us, Father, that we are in process, that you continue to pick us up and dust us off. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word. I thank you for everyone in this room. And I ask that you just bless them on their way. All the praise and glory and honor to you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.